computer audio. There we go. Oh, y'all are probably not hearing one thing I said. So forgive me, you guys. There we go. We're recording. We're live. You can actually hear me. Please forgive me for that. I am blaming the fact that I've been fasting from coffee on the fact that some things I just don't see. And so it's like my brain is just not all the way there. I am struggling definitely with this morning being able to think totally 100%. Okay, you guys, I am excited about today. Today, this is actually one of truly my favorite topics. And I believe it's that because this is one of my most difficult things that I had to learn in my life. So hang tight. We're going to talk about who are you? And I'll dig into that in just a moment. For now, I just want to say big, big kudos to those who are a part of our group and who have been really crushing it on the challenge. We are in a 31-day challenge where we call it Jumpstart 2021. And the purpose of this, it goes back to kind of last year when we had our challenge and we jumpstarted the year 2020. And I knew God was leading me into that because He literally, I mean, I can't tell you what a great start I got just by taking the month to get things in line, focus in on the things that needed to be done, dare to get some things in order, get my plans in motion. When I spent that time really focused in on what God was wanting to do for me and through me, I can't tell you how much of a difference it made. It made the decisions of the year crystal clear. I really had only one yes. Do you know what I'm saying? Not so much the decisions. I knew that when tough times hit me, that it was all working together for the good that God had for my life. And as a matter of fact, I'll tell you something. I've only had 3 years that this has happened, but this was one of them last year where I set my resolutions, I set my goals, and I achieved those resolutions. I achieved those goals by the end of the third month. Now that tells me that first of all, let me just mention this. It was a month of planning, even in that, and then 2 months of implementation, and then having to go back and say, okay, God, now what's my next step? That's pretty much my testimony. And that's why we're hosting this challenge once again. And I feel very passionate about the fact, and this is really going to confirm what I'm going to be teaching today, but I feel very passionate about the fact that first of all, this works, but also that it is essential for us to know who we are, what we're here for, so that we can be really focused in, especially with all the noise, especially with all the crisis situations, especially with all the uncertainties. This helps us to stay, I'm talking about laser sharp focused. Does that make sense to you guys? Because I'm telling you, that's what we're going to have to be this year. It's what we're going to have to commit to because there's so many distractions. There's so many voices. You know, I was listening yesterday to one of my friends and she was sharing, you know, some of the things that God's been putting on her heart. And she said that one of the reasons that she has been pretty much in prayer, not really very verbal, and we all can have different, I'm very verbal right now, but it's because I've already been in prayer and I already have heard some of the things that He's been saying He's going to be doing. And I feel like now He's saying, speak it. Do you know what I'm saying? But the reason's because she sees all this clamor. She sees all the noise. She sees all the options, all the stuff going on. And I understand that. But you know what? This is what sets you apart. Is when you have pulled aside, you've really heard God, and you know that you know that you know that you know that what He's speaking into you is exactly spot on what you're to be about this year. So that's why we're doing Jumpstart 2021. And this year, our theme, God just laid this on my heart. He said, Cindy, the theme is prep for your next step, because he is wanting for us to be stepping up to our calling. That's exactly what my message is, that I'm here to encourage you and empower you and equip you to what? Step into your calling and your life purpose. So he is wanting for us to do that. But what is the next step towards our calling, our life purpose? That's what we're looking at this month. That's what we're taking this time to hear him. And I'm talking about, I've said this, and I'll say this first and I'll say this last today. This is an invitation to a conversation with him. It's not an invitation to yet another program. It's not an invitation to another set. I have plenty of programs. I have plenty of sets, and I would love for you to check them out. They are designed, and I believe that many of them, they take you where I kind of leave off. Some of them may be your next step. Like, I know several of the ladies the other night when we were talking, in our, what I call our after party, several of them were sharing that they needed some help in some areas. I said, well, have you seen Take Action? That's right there at my website, and it's totally free. You can listen to that. You can learn it. Some were struggling with their time. Yes. Do you know how I know we struggle with time? Because just last year, I was having to balance my ministry. I said I was moonlighting my ministry, but I had to balance it. 1 hour a day was all I had. And you guys, did I mention to you, did you hear me say a minute ago that I met all my resolutions by the end of March with 1 month of planning? Come on. It's so good. This is why we do this. So this year, come in, join us. You don't even have to pay a dollar. You can come and sit in our sessions, and I promise you, you're going to get something from this. You can go to my Facebook group. They're Stepping Up to the Call, and you can be a part of the discussion. You can have people hold you accountable. You can throw your ideas out and see what other people are really thinking. Because guess what? All of us are stepping into our calling. You've got, I mean, some of the most amazing men and women are in that group because they've asked me to hold them accountable. You don't always hear from everybody. And some of you, really, I want to challenge you to jump in. Don't be an island to yourself. We are only as great as we are together. I believe in community. I believe in partnering up. I believe that, you know, we see that even in the battles, we're not designed to do this thing by ourselves. We're designed to do this in relationship, in community, and cutting ourselves off or thinking, wow, I don't want to buy anything. Well, that's why I don't ask you to. That's why I give you so much. Yes, I could use the support of my ministry. Man, I can. Who isn't there? But you know what? I'm here as long as God is paying for me to be able to be here. And I'm so grateful he is. I want you to know I'm here to give and to do, because I understand where some of you are. And your next step may very well be contingent on what we share here. Maybe you hear something that helps you to hear him better, or gives you a question that he's wanting to answer for you. That's why we do it. So we are at the very beginning of this Jumpstart 2021. This is day three that we are at our session three. And you guys, I want to encourage you just to connect and be a part. That's it. And you can do that. Go to my website, cindyrushton.com/. Just go to cindyrushton.com. You can see right there at the top, Jumpstart 2021. You can scroll down and you will run right into it. Right past my picture, you're going to see the link to join Jumpstart 2021 or find out more about it. Make sure to set your reminders. We're here on Tuesdays at 10 a.m. Central. We're here on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. Central. And Tuesdays, where my heart is to get into more of the planning, the hearing God, being able to sit and hear his voice so that we clarify some of the things that are essentials for Thursday, which are our implementation times. Last week, you know, we got started. We looked at several things that I believe are really key to getting your message and hearing God for your message. Today, we're looking at who are you? Okay, without any further ado, I want to dig in. What we're going to do, just so you guys know what the plan is, I'm going to share. And these times are times where we're just digging in, we're learning, we're having a learning time. After that, you'll need to be in the room, and that's found at cindyrushton.com/Zoom. And we're turning off social media to get real and have a safe place where we can troubleshoot, answer questions, do group coaching. If there's just even one person in the room, I'm happy to be here until all the questions are answered. Okay. So today's topic, let me ask you, who are you? You know, I ask this question so much, don't I? You want to know why? I remember it was, what is this now? 8 years ago. I was faced with a situation in my life that changed everything for me. I sat in my living room, not knowing if my marriage was going to be saved, my ministry could be saved, my business. Everything was up in, I'm talking about in shambles. My website had been hacked and all of my websites were being taken over. This sounds crazy, but it was an all-out assault against basically who I am and what I'm here for. And I remember when I finally got everything to where I had saved cindyrushton.com and I'd saved Cindy's desktop.com, but all the other, like 50 of my websites were gone. Whenever I sat there, I looked at my website and I was like, oh dear, I've got to change some stuff here. And I started changing some pictures and it was really, really difficult. Very, very difficult. Because the biggest problem I had was that I saw that I didn't even know how to write my bio anymore. I read my bio and my bio was all about the roles I was filling. She's a wife, she's a mother, she's a ministry leader. She does this, she does that. It was nothing about what you could really expect from me. I'm so thankful you guys followed me. Those that followed were, I guess, more intimate because you were in our private sessions. You came to my live events that were in person. Some of you stayed up late at night, you know, when we would stay way late at my events because my events are never like everybody else's events. There you go. That's who I am. But we would get more intimate. And I know many of you knew my heart. You knew what God had called me to. You knew my story. But many of you probably didn't really know all of what hurt me at times. You didn't know the pains that I dealt with, the struggles that I dealt with. You know, here's what I see a lot of times right now in this world. We are so superficial at face only. Our social medias have conditioned us to this. You know, give the highlight reel. We can't let anybody see us cry. We can't hardly let them see us without our makeup. I'm having my hair day. You know what I mean? There's part of me that's like, should I maybe postpone it for an hour? No. You know what? I'm being as real as I can be. You know, to let you know that today is that bad hair day. And I was like, wad. You now get to see what I look like on my most typical day where I'm working. And there are some most typical days that I have bedhead and I like it. I actually embrace those days. I should go live sometime with that, huh? Because I'm like, that's the Cindy. You guys, you get the real Cindy and you get it more now than ever. I laughed because some of one of my coaches, she calls it the Cindy 2.0. No more facades, no more trying to be something that is a people pleaser, that's going to tell you what you want to hear instead of what you need to hear. But you know what? The reason that I know the topic we're talking about today is because I haven't always been here. I remember sitting there going, who am I? I mean, literally hearing myself say the words, who am I? I had been in ministry almost 30 years, you guys. I had been saved at that point, almost 40 years. And you would think, I mean, I thought I knew who I was. I thought I could see clearly, but there was something about the crisis. There's something about the struggle. There's something about the pit that you didn't expect to be in that validates and that clarifies exactly who we are. I'm going to come back to that. However, there's something about me being literally sold out, and that's exactly what that was, and me being all alone, feeling like, oh my goodness, I know I had a dream. I was living my dream. As a matter of fact, I remember God asking me, Cindy, do you have dreams? You know that little commercial, maybe some of you remember it, Got Milk? I remember God saying, Cindy, got dreams? And I remember sitting there thinking to God, well, of course I do. I'm living it. Everything I ever dreamed when I was in high school, listen to this, everything I ever dreamed when I was in high school, I was experiencing. Everything that I had on my list, like, let me just tell you guys, I had you have to know me to know that I'm like this by nature. And I laugh because even in school where we've done, you know, like panels looking at personality and stuff, my personality always comes out as this person, okay? And this is what I have to really fight, you know, or what doesn't come out so much that I abandon whenever I'm in the spirit. It's that person that I had my 1-year plan. I had my 4-year plan. I had my 5-year plan. I had my 10-year plan. I had what I wanted for my life at 17 years old, you guys. Yeah. And so when God asked me if I had dreams, I was like, I'm living it. Isn't this good? But you guys, God has never intended for us to set dreams before us, to hear him and to dare to dream for something that's a God dream, that's an impossibility on one day. He doesn't intend for us to sit there. He intends for us to go from glory to glory to glory to glory. And so when we sit, like I was sitting at that time, I was sitting thinking, this is the dream. This is what I'm supposed to be all about. And these were things that God wanted for that season. But what happens when you have the empty nest? What happens when the spouse walks away? What happens when sickness comes or death comes? What happens when you have a national and international crisis? What happens? What would happen today if you were taken into captivity? Because I can tell you, according to scripture, God's people had different times like this, where people failed them, where they were taken into captivity, where they were enslaved, where they lost the battles. They had the moments that were uncertain. They had moments where God didn't make sense and life didn't make sense. But in those spaces and those places, God would plant something inside of them. And it would be that dream of fulfilling the purpose they had. We're going to talk about a few people in a moment. But I'm talking about people like Esther. I'm talking about people like Moses. I'm talking about people like Joseph. I'm talking about people like Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. I'm talking about Elijah's. I'm talking about the Jonahs. Yep. I'm talking about the whole of history in the Bible. We see men, we see women who generally, it was at those points where they were going, who am I, that God began the conversation with them. he began the conversation speaking into them, telling them who they were, telling them who he was, telling them what he was all about, telling them what he was doing among them, telling them what he could and would do in and through them, planting messages inside of them that they were to bring into their culture. It was at those moments that we see the story of the redemption of mankind. It was through those moments that we see a calling that you and I each have. We're not, you know, when I asked, who am I? When I asked it, I had no idea that it was going to really be a pillar of my message, because I believe that if we can get this, then the how to do it happen. The who to do it with happens. The what, hearing the message gets so clear that we don't hear all the other stuff that the enemy wants to come and whisper and distract us with. He loves messy messages. You know what I'm saying? Where it's not clear, it's messy. People aren't changed. People aren't transformed. They aren't connected. They pull back. They don't know how to take it. I've had many times, I know my message has been messy because I didn't know who I was. I didn't get that so nailed down that I could walk out boldly and say, nope, this is what I am, who I am. This is what I'm here for. This is how we're going to do it. You'll get it later. You'll understand it later, whatever it is I'm doing. You know, I'm in that place in my life right now where God has said to do, he's told me to do some things. I'm like, God, can't I just teach these sweet little pretty things? You know, I've got a lot of sweet, pretty messages. I got my outlines, got my message. There's some the most fun topics. And you keep asking me to say this? Yeah, kind of like he did with all of the prophets, all of the disciples, like he did with all of the men and women all throughout scripture. Can you imagine what it was like for Joseph? This little boy. I mean, you guys, Joseph is such a precious story. But it's precious because we see a totality of a life that's a lot like how some of us, what we face whenever we tell the world, hey, I've got a dream. Look what God just gave me. There are those people that are dream stealers and dream killers in our midst that would love to put you in that pit and sell you to the highest bidder. They would sell you to the other side. You know what I'm saying here? And I love that Joseph, he knew who he was because he heard God. He got the dream. He knew clearly what his identity as a beloved son was, and it never shook him. Never. Sure, he wondered, why are these people forsaking me? Because he was filled. There were people all around him that forsook him, that forgot him. But his story was, even in the pit, God had a plan. Even in the prison, God had a purpose. And he's no different than you and I. But you know what? He had to clarify who he was. Think about that for a moment. Are you wondering what on earth, asking the question, who are you? What that has to do with your next step and preparing? Again, this is where everything begins. You wonder why this is my first question. This is like the one I just say, I want to camp here for a minute. It's because it's vital. It is vital. It clarifies. It prunes a lot of other stuff away. Not saying that up to this point, the things you've done are not good things. Many of us, the things we've done are great and perfect preparation for what God has for us. I know even my time where God put me into a sabbatical, almost 7 year. Seven's so significant, isn't it? I was put in this little space for 7 years. I believe that those 7 years were years where God was bringing me clarity. He was bringing me healing. He was bringing me into my position that I needed to be in. He was putting me into a place where I could only hear him. I had 3 years that I tell everyone, three solid years of living in my RV. Now, I love RVing because of this, because here's what I said. I said it all the time. I was living my vacation. I would leave corporate world, go home on this long commute, and I would be what I say is totally the backside of nowhere in my RV, just me and God. I'm talking about, there are times that miraculously my phones would work and I could even run video on my gadgets. But there were many times I had no signal, no ability to hear outside. And I believe that those moments were moments that God could get a hold of me and wean me from the distractions, wean me from the flurry, wean me from all of the chaos and the voices. It was essential. Sometimes, and as a matter of fact, not sometimes, every person God uses will go through a season of solitude. Some of you have been in serious solitude this past year. Can I speak a word over you right now and tell you that this solitude is not meant for it to be a hindrance to you, for it to bind you, but rather this is a time, and especially this month, I would just say right this moment, what you have right now is a call to get in the Word of God. Let Him speak to you. Let get into the Spirit and let Him speak into your soul. Let Him bring healing. Let Him bring peace. Let Him bring purpose. That is what this solitude is all about. And every man and woman in the Bible, you can look them up. Every one of them had a solitude time. Jesus even had a season of solitude in the wilderness. And it was right before walking straight into ministry. Every one of them. You see it. You see some of them grappling with their solitude. Maybe it was a prison. Maybe it was the wilderness. Maybe it was a time where they were just unseen, just serving and serving someone else. Maybe it was a time that they were working just the regular job, but everyone had a season of solitude. And these seasons have messages attached to them because God is during that season clarifying some things. He's clarifying what is important. He is clarifying what is essential. Ooh. He's clarifying His voice. He is clarifying the message that you have and the people you're to take it to, the ways that you are to take it. It's not an accident. It's not an accident when you have times where there is like no way of really getting outside of things. You feel isolated and you're not out there. But I can tell you right now, God's about to say, time's up. Time is up. It's time. I hear Him saying to many of you, you sat on the bench. How do I know I hear this? Because I've heard it myself. This is exactly a word that I am imparting to you, some of you, and you know who you are when I say this. It's going to jump in your spirit, but it is time. You've been sitting on the bench, letting everybody else play the game. And you, some of the plays you have gone, what are they doing? What? I've been saying it this week. I've been like, what? Prophets are saying that they didn't hear the word of God on some things. And what? They say that you can do that? No, you're either a false prophet or you need endurance, one or the other. I don't know what the answer is for some of these people, but I know God's word, the true word, it always comes to pass. And I've been sitting on the bench. I'm not really so much on the bench anymore. You know what I'm saying? But I have sat on the bench for many years. And I remember God saying, Cindy, it's time for you to get back in the game. And today I declare that for some of you, you have sat on the bench long enough. You are a most valuable player. And it is your time, your time. Your time to get in the game and to dare to play the game. You are needed to bring us to victory. You are needed. This is your time to shine, not for you, not to build your name, which I do believe that people have to know how to find you because they're not going to remember your nifty little topic. You know, think about all the clutter in this world. I'm going to be really real. Like, how do I look people up? I half the time cannot remember what their message was, what their books were called, but I can remember names. You guys, get real. God says that a good name, you guys, when he uses that word good, that's the same word he uses with creation. It's the same word he uses with you, with those pretty little babies you hold. Good. But your good name is better than riches. Why? Because it brings glory and honor to him. It should be a reflection of him. When they see your name, it ought to be your name equals Jesus, equals God. Do y'all know what I'm saying here? That's what you should be known as. You should be known as his. And so you got, think about the people in the Bible. Do we know them by their story, or so much do we know to look them up by their names? God gave their names. You know, people ask me all the time, why do they have all the genealogies in the Bible? Well, there are many reasons. I jokingly have said through the years when I was homeschooling my kids, I said, well, that's so that children can practice reading and it doesn't matter if they vomit, you know, because nobody really knows how those names are pronounced. And so it's okay if they mess it up. It's just okay. You can just read it. And I jokingly say that, ha ha, but there's other reasons. You're like being able to clarify that Jesus is really the Messiah. He fulfilled scripture all the way through the genealogies even. And in the genealogies, we also see something else. We see names. We see real people who each had a part in the whole story of the redemption of mankind. The kingship, restoring kingship to God that was lost and taken away, usurped by his own people in the garden. That's what we see here. And so my friends, today, when I ask you, who are you? This is really an invitation to a conversation with God. I don't have that answer for you. I just simply lift before you principles of why it's so vital, why it's so important. Because, you know, here's the thing. If you don't know who you are, you will not be clear in your message. If you don't know who you are, you won't find your tribe. You won't find the people who need to hear you, because guess what? They're looking for you. They're looking for you. And you know, without these things as your basis, it's unlikely that you're going to experience true and lasting success. Did you hear that? True and lasting. Fulfillment and purpose that God has destined for you. He's destined you for this. Now, does that sound negative? It's really not. It's truth. See, he makes me say these things that sometimes can be hard, but listen, this is where there's life. This is the truth. God has created you and destined you for such a specific purpose. You are truly the only you. I know you hear that. It's not Dr. Seuss talking here. This is what God would say. It's why you have your own fingerprint. This is why you are just, they can't box you in with a spiritual gift inventory. They can't put you in a position where you can be given a job and it can just be something generic. Yes, we do that, but what do you do that really makes you shine? You know, it's funny, even with my marketplace position and work, I laugh because do you know what I was doing? It was so funny. I was drawn there because of the corporate values, which did, by the way, shift over time, which was actually God saying, Cindy, the grace is lifted. It's time to go. You know what I'm saying here? But anyway, the funny thing, my job was actually coaching, consulting. They would call that pastoring. You know what I'm saying? They would call that speaking in, you know, leadership, apostolic leadership. You know what I'm saying? That's what that would basically be, but it's the corporate world. I just found myself in my space, my sweet spot, just being who I typically am. It's kind of interesting to me. I thought about that many times, that was where I was. I was very fortunate. But you know what? I still say that many people, as they're doing jobs, say they're called to be a servant, and they find themselves helping everybody. They just find themselves also doing that in their jobs. My dad was a good example of that. He was such a servant leader. And it's interesting that he was such a servant leader that I don't remember him ever not being in leadership. And I do remember one very important day. He was like in corporate management with all the companies he worked with. Four in my lifetime. He was in management every single time, except one day he called me and he said, "You won't believe what I did today." I said, "What did you do?" And he said, "I went in," and he said, "I asked them to promote somebody else and let me just step down and just serve and just," he was a milkman, "just do a route." And he said that they wouldn't let him just step down. They wouldn't take his pay away. But his reasoning was that there's a lot of people who want to lead, but not a lot of people want to just serve. That's the kind of servant daddy was. And I don't care where you go, he was very good and very discerning. He was a good leader. Like, I remember through the years, you know, daddy's now passed away. He's waiting for me in heaven right now. I remember through the years, daddy had a way of seeing who you were and calling it out in people. He saw leadership. He was a gentle teacher, and he taught things very well. My love for the word, my understanding from the time, my early years of my salvation, I remember specifically the impact daddy had. In fact, that first year as I just got saved, sitting at his feet and hearing him say, "Cindy, this verse is about you." And he would speak it over me. Do you know what a gift that was? It changed the whole trajectory of who I am. But daddy was just being daddy, even at home. You know, I want to ask you to just sit for a minute and just think about who you are, because it will come out. It's probably coming out where you are. And it's so much a part of your message. It's a part of your being. That's what we're looking for. There's only one true you. And it's not, you can't be boxed in to, and put, they can't put a lid on you. They can't box you in and tell you that you yourself are just this. Does that make sense? You carry the spirit of the living God. You're whatever he says. You do what he says. You speak what he gives. That's the you. And you are here for such a time as this. So, first question, who are you? What is your first response? Is it shock? Do you feel paralyzed? Do you feel overwhelmed? Do you feel afraid? Do you shudder in insecurity? Do you feel your mind reeling with thoughts like, "I don't know, I don't know, I don't know"? Come on, that's being real. That was my first response. Are you blank? What? "I don't know about that. I just don't know. I just don't know." Are you scared out of your mind? Are you even doubtful? Come on, you guys. Who are you? How do you feel about that? It's okay. You know what I love about the Psalms? Read them. Just read, pick up any of the Psalms and just start reading. You know what I love about it? You're gonna prove me right when you do it. Go read it. You're going to see a whole range of emotions. God has put that into print, not because he's saying, "Oh, I want you to be angry. I want you to feel like killing the people that are your enemies." No, this is not what God is saying here. God is saying, "I'm okay. with your emotions. I'm okay when you cry. I'm okay when you're afraid. I'm okay when you're having your come apart. I'm okay when you are paralyzed. I'm okay when you are shocked. I'm okay when you're overwhelmed, because I am all you need. That's what he's saying. So who are you? What are your thoughts? It's okay. Lay them before the Lord. Let's get real about them. You're not alone. I've sat here and I've told you just a smidgen of where I've been, but I'll tell you what, I haven't told you the nights I laid in my bed weeping, going, God, I don't know. And I've been in ministry, God, this is horrible. Am I a false teacher? You know, I had all of those feelings. And he was like, no, I'm just really streamlining your message, because you're here to prepare my bride, Cindy. Your calling is to prepare my bride to step into their calling and their life purpose. You're going to bring every bit of the power that you carry in the Holy Spirit. You're going to bring every bit of your gift to encourage and edify and equip the body. You're going to bring your teaching. You're going to bring your prophetic gifts. You're going to bring it all to the table, because this is what I made you be, and it's who you are. I've been here at the pain point. I can probably predict, not speaking evil over myself, that I'll feel it the minute I get off the call today. Because it's not about Cindy. It's about who God has called Cindy to be. And I'm telling you what, that overwhelms me at times. You're not alone if it overwhelms you, if it scares you, if it makes you go, ooh, I don't know. Okay. But he does. He does. And every person that ever came in touch with a calling, they had the same response you and I have had. Well, let's go back on a quick field trip in time. I don't know. Maybe this is kind of like that, you know, that little movie Back in Time. Yeah, I may be saying it the wrong thing, but let's just take it in our little space. Well, it's not even our spaceship. Let's go through the word. How about that? Let's look at 2 Samuel 7:18. David was king over Israel. Get this, king over Israel. Yet his response to God's revelation of his purpose was what? Do you know that story in 2 Samuel 7:18? It was, who am I? Yep, David. You guys, David had been anointed by Samuel, the high priest. Samuel was the one that not one of his prayers dropped to the ground. God heard every one of his prayers. And that was in a time that there was no revelation of God. And yet Samuel was the priest who actually could hear God and could speak with God. God heard him. And David was anointed by him, but he was saying, who am I? That's pretty, I'm going, okay, David. Well, what about Exodus 3, Moses? Moses sees a burning bush. Now, I'm going to tell you guys, let's just get in that story for half a second. Have you been out in your yard and seen a bush fully inflamed, but not burning up? Because that's what happened with him. And Moses is clearly knowing that it's the great I am that's speaking to him, because he tells him it is. And Moses' first response to the call that God had on his life was, who am I? Who am I? Wait, not me. Can't you do it with somebody else? Because I know me. And let me just tell you this. This teaching that he was stammering because he is in the presence of God, my friends. We learn in the New Testament that he was eloquent in speech and deeds. He was mighty in speech and deeds. I think it's interesting that they would be that clear that what he was having at that burning bush was an experience and an encounter with God. And in that, his response was, who am I? Oh, who am I? Do you know my story? Do you know what I did? God, you know, he thought he was hiding on the backside of that desert to get away from God. Not because he was necessarily put there, He was running from God, running for 40 years, and then God appears. Come on. Yep. David and Moses are not the same, the only people. Jeremiah, look at Jeremiah. Yeah, Jeremiah, his first response was, hey, but I'm only a kid. What? Who am I that you're going to use me? What will I say? And God touches his mouth. Whew, can you even imagine this? He touches his mouth and puts in his mouth what he wants him to speak forth. I've always loved Jeremiah. He's a good read, you guys. But God's so clear. He says, I even called you when you were in your mama's womb. I set you apart. This is what I say you'll do because I'm with you and I'm putting it in you. I'm giving it to you. Oh, not just that. Not just that, you guys. And by the way, that was doubt that was coming out of Jeremiah. Doubt, because he did not believe God could use him. Just like us. They're not the only ones. Think about Esther. Now, Esther is literally in no greater position than the wife, a beloved wife at that, of a king. Now, her husband, yes, he was not the good guy. It's clear. I mean, he actually she didn't really have an option but to be his wife. But she did have an option of whether she was going to be holy and whether she was going to obey God, whether she was going to be used for what God called her to be used for. She had grace and she had dignity. She was perfectly preserved, perfectly prepared to be able to be in that position. And she ends up was faithful. But at first, guess what? She was like, no, he'll kill me. He's already killed one wife. I know the story. I know better than to cross this man. He's got nothing in him that's going to make him be in covenant. He doesn't get it. He doesn't get God's ways. And yet, she gave all the reasons she could not do the very thing she was positioned and called to do until she surrendered. And then look at what the story is. It's power. One of my favorite stories is Abraham and Sarah. Now, we can pretty much agree that they had a pretty, that they had a pretty good excuse when God came to them and told them that they were going to have a child. Goodness gracious, you guys, people want to really mess the story up, but we better get real. I'm 53. At 44, I went through menopause and I have not been able to conceive a child since then, obviously, because I've been through menopause. Yay me. God loves me so much to let me have it early. And I'm thankful for that. I'm just telling you guys, I had the sweetest menopause of anybody I know, but I had gone through a season of a lot of loss. I lost 7 babies. That's another story, another day, but I'd gone through a lot of things. And I asked God, I said, God, can you just make that be easy? And I'll be a monkey if he didn't answer my question and my request. He was so good to me. But let me tell you something. If he came to me today and he said, Cindy, you're going to have a baby, I at least have Abraham and Sarah's story to know that anything's possible with God. And I would embrace it. I love children. It's not that I didn't want to have more children. I did. But when God came, it was literally in my emptiness. It was in the transition as a single girl. It was all of the things. And you guys, I just think God answered my prayers. He was good to me. But here's the funny thing. Abraham and Sarah, he's 100. He wasn't 44. She's 90. She was twice as old as when I went through menopause. And she knows what her body's doing. Her body's not, it's past the age. She knew when she hit menopause. I'm sure it was a fiery little thing like most of us. She knew. And she's going, what? She started laughing, and I don't think it was a laughing like maybe you and I might do, just kind of laughing at the story. I do that when I'm in really a lot of stress. A lot of times I laugh, and it's really kind of disgusting and really offensive if you are hurt, and I'm laughing at the moment. But sometimes I do that, and I think it's just releasing Holy Spirit into the atmosphere is what I think some of that is. But this was not that. This was Abraham and Sarah. This was Sarah doubting God. They already knew. They had had their little plan, and they had already gone and done it another way by having Hagar birth a child for them. And you guys, I've sat in infertility clinics. I know the pain that people have. I'm not judging any of that. If God tells people to do it that way, he tells them to do it that way. But God didn't tell Abraham and Sarah to do it this way. He told them to have faith. It said that the whole reason God even chose Abraham was because he knew Abraham would command his children after God, that he would have faith. He would teach his children to follow God even when they don't see, but that they only have hope. And he was supposed to impart something to his children that was different than any of the people of his day. And that was why he was chosen. But this is journeying later. He had been journeying for many, many years at this point. He had been journeying many, many years when he and Sarah got this great plan to have Hagar have a baby for him. And that was not what God called them to do. So they bond. They're probably thinking in themselves, well, God didn't give us a child like we thought. It's been this much longer. Can you imagine what they're thinking? Go back into their story for a moment. And God comes and says, this time next year, you're going to have a baby. She's 90 again. Soak it in. He's 100. And by the way, some of you have older husbands. Some of you are older. If you're young, sometimes I think this goes right on by you. But at my age, I can tell you this doesn't slip by me without me going, wait, that's twice as old as me. God hadn't wired us any different. After the flood, by the way, you guys, he changed everything. He set 120 years as the lifespan. He did all these different changes after the flood, right? So it's not like we've got 1,000 years and we're going to be having thousands of babies. That's not the way it was being done. And Abraham, this is where he came into the story. This was not normal. And he gave every reason why God couldn't use him. And God gave every reason why God could. And it was simply, he knew Abraham would teach. He knew Abraham would have a message for his children, that Abraham would pass on the covenant. And it would go even to this day as hope and promise for you and for me. There are some of you that are believing God for people you love to come to know God. You know the time is nigh and you're believing him. You are the very ones who his word, his promises to Abraham, God's word and his promises to Abraham are your word and your promises, and you're grasping onto them. They are yours today too. And my sweet friend, you probably have the same feelings he has. But your father Abraham had those feelings. I love that it's recorded right there so we can learn. So what's your response right now? What is God calling you to do? What are you here for? Frederick Buchner, I hope I'm saying his name right, he gives us a good hint. He shares that the place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's hunger meet. Now think about that. I want to just camp on it a minute. The place that God is calling you to is that place where your deep gladness, where do you even get that deep gladness? You get that deep gladness when you're in the glory of victory. Okay. And that the deepest gladness, where does that come? It comes from your deepest valleys, where you get to know God as the God you believe in, where you get to see him come through. And I'm talking about he's coming through. When you get to be in that position where you know he's the God of breakthrough, when you know his name as the God who provides, the God who heals, the God who directs, the God who takes you through the battle, on and on and on. Do you know what I'm saying here? Can I ask you, where's your deep gladness? What pain or hunger did you go through to get to this place? Because everything about you, down to your message, all comes from this place. Because it's where your deep gladness and the world's hunger are meeting. Do you know there's somebody hungry for what you have? I want to tell you guys, that wrecks me. That just wrecks me. Someone is hurting. Someone is hurting. They're crying out and they need direction. They need support. They need that person saying, you got this. They need that person that has your giftings. That's pretty much my giftings there. You know what I'm saying? Being able to see it, call it forth, and encourage people to go for it. You know what I'm saying? That's my gift. If you don't know how to do it, I come alongside and I teach you. I say, take this step. You know what? I've been there. I remember going through, oh goodness, my divorce. And the first thing, one of the first things that happened in the middle of the divorce was my car messed up and I didn't know what to do. I had always depended on my husband to help me with my car. And I couldn't call him for the first time in 30 years. And I was sitting there and I had to end up going on to work. And I sat there in my office and I was literally overwhelmed. And one of the girls in my office came to me and she said, what's going on? I said, I don't know what's wrong with my car. They told me this may be a $10,000 engine. I don't even know if they make a $10,000 engine, but for that Mini Cooper, I'm sure they do. And I said, I don't know what to do. I don't know what, I have no idea what I'm supposed to do with this. And I said, I don't know who can help me. She said, I can help you. She said, Cindy, here, I want for you to get up. And the first thing she did was she said, I'm going to hug you. And she hugged me and let me cry. And she said, let's get moving. And she took me and she helped me with my next step. And we ended up getting help. I learned to cry out and let people in, let them know what I was dealing with. But you guys, I will never forget that moment because I literally felt like I was sitting there and I couldn't even pick up my legs, like to get them to move, to stand up. And yet she pulled me back up. I've had people do the same thing. Like when I lost my father, I remember I didn't know anything to do but to go on to church the next night. And I went to church and during worship, all I could do was go lay on the floor. And I was weeping. And I'll never forget those people in my church coming around me and saying, hey, Cindy, can we get you up and sit you over here so we can pray over you? And they did that and they kept praying till there was a breakthrough to my mourning. Did it stop the whole grief? No, but it helped me take my step. I'll never forget that. And you guys, I don't think it's by accident that those are my moments. I don't know what your moments are where you've had that darkness of your soul, that dark night that you didn't know how you were going to get through it. But I can promise you what you went through, what you learned about you, what you learned about God, all of that is what we're talking about. Because when you learn from it, all the things that God has got for you, and you know, I'm still getting things. I believe truly what the Bible says. We see as if we're looking through a glass dimly. We only see dimly. We don't even see the fullness. There was so much that went on. I can tell you now, so much was going on at that point with my car. So much was going on at that point where I was grieving over the loss of my dad. At other points, I've had other points. I'll never forget being at the point where I thought I was going to take my own life. That was a long time ago. But watching God come through for me and bring me back from that pit of despair, you better believe that I have a gladness that, and I have a deep, deep mother love for those who are going through those moments. It's what drives me. It's what gives me passion. You guys, that place that God is calling you to is a place where your deep gladness meets the world's hunger. They intersect, they collide. What pain, what hunger do you see other people struggling with? Because I'm going to tell you, that pain, that hunger that you've experienced is what people are going to want to buy, what people are going to want to hear. Because you know what? They're buying you. They're listening to you. They're going to want to experience. They're going to want to encounter, because they're wanting to encounter real people that they know, that they can like, that they can trust. This is a world where we can't even trust the news today. Come on. I'm telling you, we can't even trust some of the prophets in the church today. They can't even trust that they're hearing God. Can I tell you, people want to know those that can really hear. They want to be close. They should be drawing close to that. They're wanting the real, the authentic, the message that's really going to help people today, that's going to move them from their place of despair. It's going to come from pain and struggle, fear, loss, heartache, doubt, darkness. Come on, you guys. It's the story at the end of the story that they're looking for. It's so good. It's that breakthrough. It's the turnaround that they want to know. They have to have that shining before them. This is why people become evangelists for other people. Like, you may be so excited when you have people that you love their stuff. You trust their stuff. You want to share their things. How did you get to that place? It's because they are where you've been. It's because you can test their authenticity, and you know that what they are saying is working. And you say, okay, I'm going to tell you guys, this is working. It's working for me. And then that message goes on to other people. It's like what they say is ripples. Oh, wait. It's like the Great Commission. Come on. It's what we're here for. It was the last words we heard Jesus say, that he wants us to go and make disciples. That means that we're investing. It doesn't mean that we're going and we're preaching at people. It means that we're coming alongside of people and we're helping them understand. We're helping them know. We're helping them to renew their minds, to transform to the kingdom. To kingdom. This is not about us. This is about the kingdom. That is God's design. That is Jesus's call and his commission for each and every one of us. This is how the principles of the kingdom actually affect the world. Come on. Did you know that the church has been declining for over 20 years? I would say it's been declining for probably much longer than that. It's had sparks of revival where you would get people that would get it and they would pass it to others, and it would go. It would transform culture. How did that happen? Because revival's not where it stops. Revival is like a fire starter. And that fire starter then puts us back into the Word, puts us back into fellowship with the Lord. It puts us back into seeking the Word and what it has to say. And what happens with that? We're transformed by the renewal of our mind. Then what? We know the perfect will of God. We know him. And it totally affects everything in our life. My friends, what do you have to offer? Your message, your gifts, your talents? Experience, skills, expertise, your passion, your heartbeat, your story, your empathy, your ideas, your voice. What makes that different than other people? What takes that and brings that into a different message? What takes that and makes you part of, because you're going to be this, by the way, part of the great cloud of witnesses? Hebrews tells us that there's a great cloud of witnesses. It's not just the disciples. It's not just the people that were here when Jesus was here. It is my daddy, my grandmother, my babies I lost. Those are witnesses. They had a message. And guess what? It still ministers. It still goes on. And you guys, we have a message. We have a calling. We have a work to do that is going to put us literally in, get this, the story of God's kingdom. Does that sound presumptuous? It's not. It's truth. It's truth. Is there anything that you just do or say that you have seen the enemy try to silence or stop? Let me ask you, why would he do that? What is it? Because you guys, I'm going to tell you, I don't get stopped for my obnoxious political views. It's like social media, they let me rant because they love for me to look bad. Because people don't always get, how does that connect with my preaching or my teaching? They don't get it because they bought the lie that we are somehow supposed to be in this little world, but not of it. And we are, but they misappropriated that scripture. And they don't get that my calling is to be able to discern the times and to activate the church. So the church is fulfilling the calling. They're prepared. They know what's going on. They put it all together and then they take it out, telling people that about the kingdom, what the kingdom has, that the kingdom can help. Let me tell you, if we were right now rounded up and persecuted, and I'm not speaking that out, we could do it with total. Here's how I see it. I'm either good because I'm on the internet or I'm good because I'm on the streets. I'm also, if you don't want me on the streets, you want me in some concentration camp. Guess what? I'm good. And you say, okay, I got to take her head on off. Okay, I'm good. Because guess what? When I'm going, I want to be just like Stephen. I want to go with a confidence, just like Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. I want to go in such a way that everyone around me says, oh, that was glory. I want God to have such a glory raining down at that point, probably more than I have even right now. I want his glory to be seen. Can I ask you, why would Satan want to stop that? Because he knows the power of the gospel. And you guys, your story is powerful. It is the good news, especially if you know God's brought you through something. Do you know how dangerous that is to the kingdom of darkness? You're a bearer of light. You bring God to the culture. There's something in me that has just such a passion for certain things. And that is my space. It's where I bring truth into the kingdom of God. That is where I myself have my heart beating wildly. It's the thing I'm here for. It's the thing I want to do. I desire to do. I delight to do. It's the thing that truly, if I'm gone tomorrow, I want to be known for it. And when we find our voice, we'll have a story. I'm talking about a world-shaking, thrilling, world-shaking story. And we'll build, get this, a community that wants to have that and they want to help, because they want to help you promote that. Find your voice and you'll have your story. You'll have your community. You'll have your products. You'll have your prosperity. Today, this is an invitation to a conversation with God. I ask you to let his lavish love come over you and overtake you. I ask you to let his love and loving kindness flood your inner being. I'm talking about, like, get this. When I'm talking about his love, do you realize he loves you as a perfect, holy father? Soak that in. You look like your daddy when you get that. You shine forth his love when you get that and you're seated in it. When you're abiding in it, then you bring it into others. His loving kindness. Now I'm going to tell you something. I remember grappling with that. I remember losing my first baby. It was my third child. And I thought for sure I had heard God to have more children. And I had my tubal ligation reversed. Everything was go. I got pregnant 3 months later. Then 5 weeks later, I start to miscarry. And I continue for, was that 5-6 weeks later? They then find the babies in my tube and they put me in emergency in the hospital. And you guys, you know what? I was a hot mess. It was, And I said, God, I need your word. I don't understand this. I know I heard you. I know your word is true. And I know you told me to do this. What's going on? And God kept speaking over me, loving kindness. And I was thinking, God, this is not loving and this is not kind. You let me pray and it doesn't rain so my hair doesn't get wet. How superficial can that be? It's funny because it shows me he's still in charge of the weather. You know what I mean? He's in charge of the things that we can't be in charge of. And I see that and I have a faith in that, but I have crazy faith that he can heal. I believe crazy that he can bring back to life. I believe crazy ideas like that he is with me and that he doesn't lead me to a place that is this grievous. I mean, unless there is a purpose. But that, you know what? I didn't know him well enough. It's kind of like Mary and Martha. You know, they had that the moment that Jesus delayed. By the way, he was about 2 miles away. It took him on the fourth day that Lazarus was in the tomb to get there. And they said, if you'd been here, we knew he wasn't going to die. We knew you'd heal. But see, they were getting a revelation of something different about him. They were going to learn that he was the resurrection and the life because they were going to need that lesson. They were going to need that assurance because their lives were about to shake. And you know what happened? Jesus came. It grieved them. They had been walking with him. They had been learning from him. Mary had been sitting at his feet. Remember when he wept? She'd been sitting at his feet and she didn't hear what he said when he said, I am the great I am. I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to me, but through, no one comes to the Father, but through me. They knew so many things, but they missed some of the most important that they were about to need. And I'm sure that that was a concern for him. Because I think about myself. I think, what would be my greatest concern being here on earth? I mean, because you guys, I'm counting down to my eternity. But my greatest concern is leaving behind those that don't understand my Jesus. I ask God, keep me here as long as you've got a message to use through me. And you know what? Here's the deal. Think about what they got to see that day. They got to see for themselves with the person they loved the most, see him come back. And he was part of that very inner core of people that were at that crucifixion. And I'm sure they didn't totally get it till that third day when Jesus came and when they saw him risen. They got, oh my goodness, he is that. He is the way, the truth, the life. He is the resurrection and the life. He is eternal life. And then they could go forth with a message. Let me tell you something about the loving kindness I saw with him. Loving kindness is where we know that God sits in our life and he says, you know what? I've got a hedge of protection around you, but there is a point where the enemy comes at you. And when there's open doors, open gates where the enemy is allowed to come into your life. Not God isn't ushering him in, by the way. Many times it's us, but during those moments that even sin and death has an impact over our lives, He's loving kind. That means he has a tender regard for you. And the minute it starts is the minute he starts making it up to you because you're in covenant with him. Let his love and loving kindness flood you because there's things that you know about him that the culture needs today. Run to him, jump in his lap, press in so you have your ear into his chest so you can listen to his heart beat. You've got to be that close, that intimate. You can't be standing at a distance watching. Did you pay attention in scripture? The number of times that, and this is a good study, you guys, go and look up in the New Testament, the times they were standing at a distance and what happened to them as a result. When they were standing at a distance, they doubted. When they stood at a distance, they feared. When they stood at a distance, they denied him. But when they were right up close to him, they got their beloved identity and they stood firm through everything. Look who was at the foot of that cross. John was. And his whole book, if you want to know your beloved identity, a great place to start is just read, soak. I'm talking about play it in your audio. Get in the book of John. John got that he was God's beloved child. He got his identity as God's beloved, that he knew who Jesus was. Remember remember him at the Lord's Supper. He's hearing all these things. And what was he doing? He's some little 18-year-old leaned up against Jesus, like as close as he could get to Jesus, grasping. I could just see him grasping onto every bit of what Jesus was about, his presence. And you guys, I hear God saying that to you today, to just run to him, to jump in his lap, to press your ear into his chest, to listen to his heartbeat. If you have a hard time seeing him as a good, good father, today is your day to ask him, what does that mean? Because there has been an assault on fatherhood in our culture. There have been so many fathers that have not known how to father. And part of that, it is Satan's ploy to keep us from being able to truly know the Father's love, because in that is our identity. It's our worth. It's so important for us to know who we are. And you guys, he wants to speak it into you. He wants to impart it into you. Let him revive you so he can renew you and he can transform you and he can use you. Take his word and his heart to the world. They need him as never before. They're scared. They are scared. Do you know what people are going through today? The church has sat in our programs. We sat in our smoke at the church, and I love worship. Don't get me wrong. I love good worship like anybody else. But if that worship is not activating us into our culture, then it's just a selfish, narcissistic worship. That worship is not hearing the heart of God in the midst of the worship. And I'm telling you, God is calling us into the heart of worship. He is wanting a revival in his church and in his people, not a meeting, not a passing experience. I have been seeing revival for years now. It's an intimacy movement, an intimacy that is activated and taken into the culture where people get what they're really looking for. I'm telling you, this new younger generation, they're not going to want our God and our church stuff. You say, Cindy, you're a pastor. You're an apostolic prophet, girl. What in the world are you saying that for? Because I'm telling you what, church has been tainted. You don't get into the old, you've got to hear God for a new song, his new word. He doesn't operate on old manna that's stale and molded. If we aren't going from glory to glory to glory now, we've missed it. And I'm telling you what, today his glory is to be seen in his church. We've got half of the church that they're asleep. They're walking zombies. If they are at the church house, they're zombies. They're clueless. They can't see nothing. They can't hear nothing. And they sure as heck can't speak the heart of God and what he's got going on right now. Mm-mm. They don't see it. And here's what they do. They're gripey and grumbly. You try waking them up and they growl and they snort and they snarl. They sound just like little demons arguing and fighting, contentious. And I'm telling you, it fires something in my spirit up. Because I'm like, you guys are missing it, buddies. Revival, when it gets a hold of you, there's something that can't shut up. Even when they try to mask you, even when they censor you, even when they try to silence you, even when they say, if you say something, you know what we're going to do? We're going to round you up. We need to get rid of those crazy people like you. Let me tell you something. The Bible says that the gates of hell will never prevail against that church, the church that God has. Nope. You're restrained. They are restrained. The lawless one is restrained. Until what? Until we are taken up with the Lord. And then we have a great tribulation. The wrath of God is really poured out on this earth. I'm telling you something. Nope, they can't destroy us. There's no weapon that is formed against us that's going to prosper. I'm going to say something crazy right here, but it's truth. They thought they could take out huge numbers of the population just through COVID. And then we got to fasting and praying and look at it. The numbers aren't there. They couldn't even project the numbers right. Have you thought about that? Do you know when the numbers dropped? Go look at it at Passover. People said, but COVID's still there. God didn't heal it out. Well, there's some of you that are fellowshipping more with COVID and the fear of COVID and the fear of what the government's saying. You are listening. You are tuned in. You're reading the news more than you're reading your Bible. You are listening more to the news and the mainstream media than you are listening to worship and the Holy Spirit of God. And I'm telling you, our world needs truth. It needs us activated. It needs us, and we won't be activated until we are revived, until we are pressed in. We're hearing him. We're walking in his step with him. We've got his Spirit flowing through us. We are going beyond just a experience or one-time encounter, but no, we're living the life, the lifestyle. That messes with your job. That messes with your business. That messes with your family. That messes with your friends. It probably messes with your church. It messes with you. I know it messed with me a lot this year. My ideas, my plans, my agenda, my flesh, my spirit, it's messing with stuff. That's what God's so good at, isn't he? There should be change. There should be shifts. There should be transformation. It should not look the same. Today, I ask you to set your face upon him. Look to him. Put your eyes on him. Grasp onto everything he died to give you. Find your voice. There, you're going to have your story. You're going to have your world-shaking, world-changing ministry. You're going to have the impact that God has that he wants to do in and through you. What makes your heart beat wildly? What are you here for? What do you want to do? What are you going to be known for? What is your story, your message, your legacy? Let me pray. And then what we're going to, okay, let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I come before your presence, Lord. I thank you that you're in our space. You're in this place with us. And I believe you're speaking. I believe you're calling. I believe you're moving. I believe you're offering hope. I believe you're offering clarity and vision. Oh God, we just thank you for being here with us. God, I thank you. I thank you that you're here at a very uncertain time. That you are absolute certainty. You are absolute truth. You are an absolute way so we can step into it and take each and every step. And we know we're solid. We're on firm foundation, firm footing, a firm path, a narrow path. We know that you're the life. Your life, a life that can't be snuffed out, an eternal life. Lord, your life here now. And through all eternity, I thank you, Lord, that we are born again into your family, your home, your people, your house, that we are your children, Lord, that we have your identity, that you say we are who you say we are. We can do what you say we can do. You're exactly who you say you are. We don't have one doubt that there is anything you can't do, anything that you won't do in us and through us for others as well. God, I just praise you. We expose the enemy. We expose his chatter. We expose his distractions. We expose his chaos. We expose his diversions. And today we step into our calling. We step into the purpose you have for our life. We're in 100% agreement, Lord. Lord, I know you're doing something here. You're lighting fires, fires that are going to rage. I see you lighting fires that are going to be a light to this world in the darkness. And Lord, I just praise you for that. You're a good, good Father. Thank you. Help us to be so in you, so in Christ, that he is so in us and the world sees him, that they see him, that we are image bearers of you. Oh, Lord, that we offer hope and salvation to the world. that, Lord, we bring them kingdom, that we bring them hope, healing, power, authority, all the things that are kingdom. Thank you, Lord. You're so good. And we praise you. We worship you. I ask you, Lord, to continue to speak through this challenge. Lord, I know that right now, this is a time I hear you saying of revival, of renewal, and of transformation for each and every person in this challenge. And Lord, I ask you to do a mighty work. I ask you to stop time literally when they're working so they can get more done than they've ever got done. I ask you, Lord, to silence things around them so they can truly hear you. Lord, I praise you. I lift you on high. I know you're doing a great work. It's all for your glory, Lord. Thank you. For in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Okay, you guys, we're going to take a shift. If you are hearing on Facebook, now is when you would want to come and join us in our room. We are located in my room that is located at cindyrushton.com/Zoom. And today I want to do a couple of things. I may come back on the air in a little bit after we're done, but I don't know when that's going to be. But we're going to close this off because I want for this to be time that those in the room can really work out plans and ask questions that they can ask for prayer or whatever we are going to do. We do what we do. This is our time and we're shutting off the world for this. But if you want to join us, you're not the world we want to shut out. We want for you to come and be a part of us again, cindyrushton.com/Zoom. And you can come and join me. I'll let you in. Okay. And I hope that you guys, don't forget, we'll be back Thursday night, 7 p.m. There are also replays. I've got the replays from last week. I haven't got them up. I'm sorry. Onto the membership page. If you haven't joined the challenge, please join. I haven't even invited y'all to do that today, but you can go to cindyrushton.com. You can see right there, the Jumpstart 2021 challenge. I want to show you guys, we got the mugs in. These are our prizes for our finishers. All you have to do to finish is have 50 points and finish one of your challenges that you set. You decide your challenge. I'm not even all on that, you guys. You decide your challenge. You work towards your next step. You prep for your next step. And so when you do, you get to have our mug for Jumpstart 2021. Isn't it cuteness? And it reminds you when you get your coffee to prep for your next step. If you want to be a part of that and eligible for the mug, and also, I think you're going to have even greater treasures when you do prep for your next step. Go to cindyrushton.com, join my challenge. I want you guys to be a part. The thing about this, one thing I want to do this week, I want for us to have some co-working times. You need to be in that list. That is going to be totally a time that if you're not in my group on Facebook and really, you need to be on my mailing list, by the way, because I don't know what they're doing with all this social media right now, but be on the loop. And if we can, we're going to do co-working times right here in Zoom where you can work on your projects. And at the top of the hour, we can hold each other accountable. You can ask any questions that you need help with or whatever. But what I want to encourage you to do is join us because this challenge is for you too. It's not just I'm not your typical challenge, by the way, in case you hadn't noticed that through the last year. I'm not one of these little challenges that, you know, is just wanting to give you some nice little pep talk. You know, I'm wanting for us to take action, for us to do the things that take us to the next level, that take us to the next place, that get the things ready and finished. I'm not happy just to see you have plans and never make it happen. I want to see you guys stepping into your calling. So that's my heartbeat, my heart cry, and that's what we're here for. For those who are on Facebook, connect with me, cindyrushton.com. Follow me everywhere you can, because, you know, we don't know. They're cutting off people that are crazy about Jesus like this. So I had some warnings last week and I was like, oh dear, what if, every time that we get started really having challenges and stuff, they kind of want to interrupt us. And this time I'm just refusing to give them that space. My mailing list is ready. You get an email from me every Tuesday. The email for today will be later today. I have my YouTube in position. You can go to cindyrushton.com/YouTube. I am at Rumble, but I don't know what's going to go on with any of those things. I've got still a bunch of videos to put in over there too, but, and I'm at a whole lot of different places. I like Freedom Lake. It's cute. And some of you I saw are already there. It's really cute. They've got groups. They've got, you can do live videos. You can do all that stuff. And it is definitely an alternative to Facebook. So some of you may want to join that. I like it because guess what? I'm a military mom and I like military peeps that start things, but it's not as big. And people cry, get really concerned. They stay hooked and addicted to Facebook because they've got family there or friends from high school or whatever. Well, tell people to go wherever you're going and get somewhere. You need to get somewhere where you're not being made angry every day, where you're not finding yourself having to literally fight the good fight just because you're on your happy social media. Come on. This isn't even, they're not even encouraging and helping us to be community. So, find some places. I'm at Gab now. I like it, but Gab has been obviously a little overwhelmed. That's why I think Freedom Lake's my favorite. I can get on there and I can play and I love it. You're going to see a lot more of my stuff there. Gab, I hope it smooths on out because I really like why they're there. And so find people in different places. I am on Telegram. One thing that those of you who are part of the group, I am later. My goal is later today, tonight, whatever, I want to set up a Telegram list for us just so we can stay in touch in case I have to say, hey, this is what we're doing. This is where to go for meetings. Okay. I think we just have to be prepared and we have to not give up when we have a hard time, when we get a warning from social media saying, shut up. I think this is one time I'm not going to be obedient. I was trained in school. I was always told you talk too much. Be quiet, be quiet, be quiet. You know what? I don't need any more socialization. I'm not wanting to be a socialist. I'm wanting to be a kingdom girl. And so let's make sure that we are doing the things that keep us in community, that keep us supported, that keep us together. Some of you in the group, I'll give you guys my phone number. I'm not putting it, it is on several places on my Facebook and social media, but you guys, yesterday I had so many calls of pastoral care. I am here if you need your someone to pray over you, pray over a situation you're facing. When I say I'm surrounding you in prayer, I'm surrounding you in prayer. I'm really praying. I'm hitting my knees or going on my face before God for you. It's not a fake stuff. I'm just saying just to say stuff. I don't do that. And so connect, be connected. You're not alone. You don't have to be alone. Again, we're going to shut down the broadcast on Facebook because I want to take good care of all of the people in the room. If you want to join us, come on over, cindyrushton.com/Zoom. We'll see you again Thursday night for this and other times. Stay abreast. You're going to see my podcast rolls out Thursday. My e-zine comes out today. We're in a lot of different places. I'm even on I'm on Clubhouse. And if some of you are on Clubhouse already, I'm new, so I don't have any invitations left. I only had one. I want many, but get on Clubhouse because we can get in a room and we can talk any time of the day there too. And so let's be connected is my bottom line. Okay. Well, you guys have a great day and I'll probably get back on a little later today so we can have a prayer time in community. So be aware, follow me and I'll talk to you guys online later. Bye. And you guys here in the room, stay. Okay, so